We're back in the courtroom of current events here with Peter's Proffer. Speaking on a topic today that is more of a frequently asked question than a current event, we have our first out-of-office guest, meaning somebody not from Tragos, Sardis, and Tragos. But as always, if you have any questions for us, hit us up on info@tragoslaw.com. On social media, we are at Tragos Law. Let's have Gina Meisenhelder play us in. Today is one that just about every client, when they walk in the door, either ask us a question about or don't even know if they have it. And that's going to be talking mostly about car insurance. What kind of car insurance do you have? Most people in America don't know. And what kind of car insurance do you need? Nobody knows. So today we brought in our first guest, and we wanted to make it as confusing as possible. So it's not only myself, Peter Tragos, and Peter Sardis, my partner here, but we've also brought in a third Greek, Peter. And that's Peter Marcos. So, Pete, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and tell everybody what you do.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pete Marcos. I'm an independent agent. My agency name is A Family Insurance Service of Tampa Bay. I've been an agent for 24 years.
Thanks for being with us, Pete. So we're excited to have you here. And we'll go by last names on today's podcast just so everybody knows who we're talking to and who's talking. So we're going to get some perspectives from lawyers that fight with insurance companies, but we're also going to get the insurance agent's perspective because he can answer some questions we don't, like how do your rates change? How much is it to go up from no UM to having UM? How much is it to stack UM and all sorts of questions like that? But first, we're going to just talk about what kind of car insurance there is available to people in Florida. And me and Pete Sardis are going to first hit on PIP, which is potentially going away if you look up at the lobbyists from the Florida Justice Association, which is the PI lawyers up in Tallahassee fighting to get rid of PIP and go to a mandatory bodily injury state. But first, Pete, why don't you, Pete Sardis, explain a little bit about what PIP is?
Personal Injury Protection, or what in the business we know as PIP, is the only insurance that is mandatory in the state of Florida. Florida law requires you to have at least $10,000 of personal injury protection, which is designed to pay your own medical bills. Under our system, there is no other obligatory insurance, meaning you don't have to have any bodily injury coverage, you don't have to have uninsured motorists, frankly, you don't have to have collision and comprehensive to handle the damages to your vehicle or the vehicle of anybody else that was involved in the accident.
And the reason it's important to know what PIP is and to know that it is the only mandatory part of your car insurance in Florida is to really know what it covers. The only thing PIP payments can go to is medical treatment, medical devices, and a percentage of your lost wages. So if you have any pain and suffering, if you have property damage done to your car, PIP payments cannot go to that. So if all the person that hits you has is PIP, they're not going to be able to cover all of the damages and the losses that you have. And even when we talk about PIP payments, they don't pay 100% of the medical bills. They only pay 80% up to $10,000 in medical bills. And then depending on what your policy is, they only pay a percentage of the lost wages that you have. So let's get Pete Marcos' take on PIP.
Well, I just want to add a couple things to it. PIP is also known as no-fault insurance. And the no-fault is, I think, a confusing term for people. They have to understand that no fault means the first $10,000 of your medical is paid no matter who's at fault in the accident. Also, the other required coverage in the state is property damage, which covers $10,000 of damage to somebody else's car. And I think people forget that as well. So I wanted to add that too.
Okay, so when we're talking about the PIP coverages that everybody has, your PIP is the first bucket of insurance money that pays for medical bills. So when we talk about that, everybody should have it, but I'll tell you, we have a frightening amount of cases that come in where the at-fault party does not even have PIP coverage because a lot of people are out there going and getting insurance, signing the policy, going to get their driver's license, and then calling and canceling their policy and continuing to drive without any insurance. So if somebody doesn't have PIP and all you have is the bare minimum in Florida, all you're going to be able to cover is 80% of the first $10,000 of your medical bills. Another thing that's kind of along the same lines of as PIP is MedPay. Pete Sardis, why don't you tell us about MedPay?
MedPay is an add-on. Not every insurance policy has it. What it basically does is it's normally a small amount, $2,500, $5,000, sometimes more depending on if you how your agent has set you up. This is a insurance policy that covers your own medical bills after your personal injury protection has been exhausted. Now, there's something interesting. In a car accident claim, PIP does not have what's called the right of subrogation, meaning you don't have to pay back that money to PIP if there's a third-party settlement in a car accident case. But MedPay does not have that same restriction. In other words, MedPay does have a right of subrogation, meaning if you do recover, you may have to pay that MedPay portion back.
So, for example, if you've got $5,000 in MedPay and your insurance company goes through the entire $10,000 of PIP and the $5,000 in MedPay, and then you go get a settlement, well, you have to pay that $5,000 of MedPay back to your car insurance company. That's what a right of subrogation means, is you can't get paid twice for that same bill. And once we go into the next section, I'm going to have Pete Marcos talk about property damage insurance. So what's required? How much does it add to your policy to bump up the property damage? Talk about rental insurance and things that go along with when your car actually gets damaged in a car accident, how it affects your insurance policy and what you want to have to cover yourself.
Okay. Like I said before, property damage, the minimum requirement is only $10,000. Which, in big picture, is not a lot of money. Your average new car costs over $30,000. So if you run into a BMW and you only have $10,000 of coverage, you're going to find yourself in a very bad spot. Of course, you always want to have a lot more. The minimum recommended is $50,000. And even now these days, $50,000 may not be a lot, because if you run into an SUV or a BMW or Mercedes, they certainly cost more than $50,000. I would, to use a broad stroke, I would say recommended property damage will cost you about $25 to $50 more a month, depending on your driving record, your age, and, of course, credit in the state of Florida is a big factor in our rating these days.
And when we talk about how much these coverages cost to bump up each month, we're going to talk mostly about thinking about it on the back end, where if you actually do, God forbid, get in a car accident, it's going to cost you exponentially more to pay off whatever car you hit than the $20 a month that it's going to cost to bump up your property damage insurance. So, Pete Marcos, what do people have to look out for having rental insurance on their policy? And I also have a question, because you know how my policy is I have USAA and I've got the rental insurance, but I've also got AAA. So what do people do if they have some of that overlap where they've got some towing, or they've got some, you know, we'll come change your tire for free if you have this on your insurance, or rental car insurance? And if they have any overlap, what can they look for to save money on their car insurance policy?
Well, let's be clear. The rental car coverage and the towing and disablement are two separate coverages.
Right.
So if you have an accident and you need a rental car while your car is being repaired, AAA is not going to help you.
Right.
There's no coverage there. Usually a rental car policy will run you rental car endorsement will run you maybe $40, $50 every 6 months. So, you know, break that down. That's certainly pretty cheap. And AAA can't help you with that.
Before we get into the towing and what AAA covers, if you do have the rental car coverage, because a lot of people don't know this, then when you go to rent a car from Enterprise and they offer you coverage, that's when you decline it because you already have it?
Wait, say that again.
So some people go to Enterprise, rent a car, and they offer you insurance on the car. So how does that affect, how does your policy affect that?
Okay, that's two different things.
Okay.
Your rental car endorsement on your insurance gives you transportation while your car is being fixed at the body shop.
And what does that usually cover? How long?
Typical coverage is $30 or $40 a day, up to 30 days. Now, what you're talking about is when you go rent a car and your insurance transfers to that rental car. So that's really two different scenarios.
And okay, so tell me about that. Tell me about what you have to have on your policy so that it'll cover your rental car so you don't have to get the enterprise rental car insurance.
You need comprehensive and collision.
Okay, and what's that run you?
That will run the average person, I'd say, $300 every 6 months.
And do you recommend that people have that?
Absolutely, especially if they have a newer vehicle. And most people, if they have a loan, are required to have that on their auto insurance anyway.
Okay, so now talk to me about what AAA covers and how that can overlap with what you get on your car insurance.
Well, AAA really only covers roadside assistance, towing, dead battery, you locked your keys in the car. Sometimes AAA's coverage is actually better than what you can get on your auto insurance. But, you know, as an agent, I always recommend buying it through me because then I know you have it because I know you're going to pay it. If you pay your auto insurance, you have your roadside assistance.
If you do have AAA, what do you think you can cut from your car insurance policy if you are trying to save some money on the policy each month?
Okay. The only thing you can save is the only thing you're going to save on your auto insurance is the towing.
Okay.
Now, can I add just one thing?
Absolutely.
A lot of times people will call and say, hey, I just want the absolute minimum requirement. And some agents will just sell you comp collision with the PIP, and they won't sell you the rental and towing because they want to give you the lowest price possible.
Right.
And then you'll have a big, nasty surprise when you have an accident and you realize you don't have the rental car, and that transportation need you have is now coming out of your pocket.
And so now we're getting into what we're relying on the person that hits you, what kind of coverage they have. So we're going to start with bodily injury coverage next. And I'm going to have Pete Sardis talk about what bodily injury coverage is, what it does, and what we look for as lawyers in somebody else's bodily injury policy.
All right. Bodily injury is the portion of your insurance that covers the other person's injuries. Meaning, if you're involved in a car accident and you injure someone else, they're going to make a claim against you. The bodily injury portion is that part of your coverage that will pay for those injuries. Now, I'll tell you, Peter, when's the last time we looked at an emergency room bill that was less than $10,000 anymore?
Yeah, not common.
Yeah. So these bodily injury policies that are $10,000 are frankly, consumed almost instantly. I'll probably let Peter talk about the specifics of how much he should probably have, but at the end of the day, not everybody has bodily injury.
And then the people that do have bodily injury just realize that because you have bodily injury coverage does not mean if you are injured in a car accident that it's going to cover your injuries. We're going to get to that next, but bodily injury coverage, meaning if you injure somebody else, it can only cover that other person. There's nothing you can do to get your own bodily injury coverage. And now we'll move to Peter Marcos and talk about what is the minimum bodily injury coverage. What is the maximum? What can you do to make sure you have enough bodily injury coverage, and how much does it cost? Because that's not part of the mandatory insurance you have to have in Florida.
Right, Pete. What you should carry really depends on is certainly a person by person scenario. How much money you make? What kind of assets you have? The minimum recommended. Is at least 100, 300, 100,000 per person, 300,000 per accident, and then also the 100,000 for the property damage. If you're somebody that has a lot more than $300,000 of assets, well, then you should have 250,000 per person, 500,000 per accident. And then maybe we should also discuss a million-dollar umbrella, but that might be a podcast for a different day.
Yeah, and that's just for people to know that if you do have a lot of assets, it's smart to have an umbrella policy on top of, which means additional to your bodily injury coverage, which just gives you extra coverage. We can get into that another time. But when talking about how much bodily injury coverage to have, you have to realize that insurance is there to protect you and to protect your assets. Because if you injure somebody and don't have insurance, that money's coming directly out of your pocket. So you might as well pay, and that's something we'll get to now. What is the cost of, even a $50,000 bodily injury policy? Or you said the recommended is 100, 300. So what is the cost per 6 month on 100, 300 policy for your average car insurance company? I know it can depend on the company.
Well, let's assume somebody has a good driving record and good credit. If we're talking a couple with,
We're not going to assume you're average American.
Yeah. Hey. Let's say you're above average American.
So what's that going to run you?
I would say $1,000 to $1,200 every 6 months.
Okay. So that's what it's going to cost to save you hundreds of thousand dollars potentially on the back end. And the next topic that we're going to cover, which is my favorite, I think the most important coverage because it protects yourself, is underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage. So, Pete Sardis, why don't you tell us first what all that covers and what we see in practice with UM?
Uninsured motorist is a portion of your insurance policy that actually covers your injuries and your pain and suffering if the person that hit you does not have the required or any insurance. It is unbelievable. Anymore, the majority of the people on the street, in my opinion, are underinsured. Number two, it is shocking to me how many people simply do not have insurance and are driving the car. Peter, how many times have we had a case where you see an enormous amount of damage and then you realize the person driving the car doesn't have a driver's license, let alone any insurance to cover the injuries that they've caused?
It happens all the time, and the saddest part is when the person that comes in our office is really injured and they don't have UM insurance, and they're always angry at the person that hit them, and rightfully so. And then sometimes they get angry at us because there's nothing we can do. They want to go, you know, sue the person who doesn't own a house, doesn't own a car, doesn't have a job, when if they would have known about underinsured or uninsured motorist coverage, they could have afforded it and they would have had it covering themselves for the injuries they sustained in an accident they were not at fault for. And that's the important part. If you're at fault for an accident, your UM coverage will not cover those injuries. But if you are not at fault for the accident and the other person doesn't have enough insurance and bodily injury coverage to cover your injuries, that's when your UM kicks in. So the first question I'm going to have for Pete Marcos is, what do you tell people about UM insurance, especially if they say, oh, I want the cheapest policy, I want to see how I can save money? Is that one of the ways that is the first way to cut back on money, or do you try to find other ways to save them money per month on a car insurance policy?
Well, look, obviously uninsured motorists is extremely important. That's why we're having this podcast. I beg people not to buy or not to waive the uninsured motorist because I think it is so important. Polls, statistics have shown that at least a third of the drivers in the state don't have insurance at all. I agree with Pete Sardis. I think it's much higher.
Oh, I would absolutely bet it was much higher.
This coverage is so important, and it's the legislature, a long time ago, before I even started selling insurance, made a point that an insured has to sign off on uninsured motorist. It is the most important signature that I make sure I get on an application, because if somebody doesn't have it, if somebody waives it, it needs to be documented that they decided to waive it. Yes, it will save you money, but like you said, on the back end, it's going to cost you a lot. And to answer your question with that, I know that's coming, I would say uninsured motorists will run you $150, $200 every 6 months.
Which is, it's crazy how cheap that is compared to what people actually need when they come in our office. If I could tell everybody, go out there, check your car insurance policy, make sure you have underinsured motorist coverage. And most people, Pete, correct me if I'm wrong, do the same as their bodily injury coverage, because you're not allowed to do more UM than you have in BI. Is that correct?
That is correct. If you have 100, 300 for bodily injury, a vast majority of the policies have 100, 300 for uninsured motorist. And that's another signature. That's another thing somebody has to sign off. If they want to save money and they choose less uninsured motorist, they have to sign off on that.
And that, this is something I know Pete Sardis harps on in our practice, so I'll let him talk about that waiver of the UM.
Every time I get an insurance policy, and I see that there is no UM or UM has been waived, I ask the insurance carrier to provide me the actual signature blocks that show that that individual signed off on UM. And I'll tell you, the interesting conversation I have with a lot of those clients that don't have UM is they swear they have UM. They've always had UM. And then when I get the documents and they see the signatures, it all clicks in their mind. They went to a different insurance agent. That insurance agent saved them a couple hundred dollars a year. So they switched their agent and their policies. What really happened, and I think it's unscrupulous, is that insurance agent cut their uninsured motorist coverage and had them sign off on it. Most people are completely unaware. That means if you're listening to this podcast, as soon as the thing is done, you need to call your insurance agent and find out if you have uninsured motorist coverage. If you don't, get it.
And most companies, like I have USAA, so I'll just speak from that, you can go on your app and you can look at everything you have. They'll show you what you have in property damage and bodily injury and uninsured motorists, and you can see for yourself. And then, like Pete said, call your agent and make sure you have what you need to have, because when we have that conversation with clients in our office and then we show them a piece of paper that they signed off on saying, I don't want to have this insurance if I get injured, and they're sitting injured in our office needing a surgery or whatever, well, now it clicks that I wish I would have been paying, like Pete Marco said, $120 a 6-month period for this uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage. The next thing that's kind of interesting and most people don't know about either, I didn't know about it before I was a lawyer, can you talk about stacking coverage?
Yeah. Stacking your uninsured motorist basically doubles your uninsured motorist. So the easy example is, let's say you have 100, 300 for your uninsured motorist and you stack it, you have two cars, then your uninsured motorist becomes 200, 600,000.
And it stacks every car you have. So if you have five cars, it just keeps going up, right? 500, a million.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. So that's one way, and that's a cheaper way, if I'm not mistaken, to get, let's say, for example, if you have two cars with 100, 300 stacked, is that cheaper than having a 250, 500 policy?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so you're getting 200, 600 worth of insurance as opposed to 250, 500 for cheaper because you're stacking the policy.
Correct.
So that's why people do it. And also, we've said this a bunch of times throughout the podcast. I don't know if we've explained it, but when we say 200, 600 or 100, 300 or 25, 50 or 10, 20, what we're talking about is the first number is the maximum amount or the policy limit per injury per person. So if it's 10,000, that's 10,000 per person. But the second number, the 20,000 on a 10-20, is per accident. So that means if there were five people that were injured in that accident on a 10-20 policy, the maximum that car insurance is going to pay out is 20,000. On a 100-300, maximum per person is 100,000. Maximum per accident, meaning no matter how many people there are, even if there's 10 people that were injured, the maximum is 300,000 on that accident. Okay, so the last thing I kind of want to talk about is what are you seeing the mistakes or people are making in looking for what kind of insurance, what company do most people call you, I assume, and just say, give me the cheapest insurance I can have? Or how does it work? And what are people asking you, and what should they be asking you when they're looking for their car insurance?
Well, yeah, of course, rate is usually the main motivation for people to shop. I think the tough thing is it's really up to me to ask the good questions. How much coverage do you need? What kind of assets do you have? Where should we set your bodily injury? And then, of course, your uninsured motorist follows that. A lot of times people spend so much time looking at the comp and the collision. And if you look at your declaration page and you look at the breakdown of what you're paying for what, if you're, let's say you're my age, you're 50 years old, you might be paying only $100 every 6 months for comp and collision, and the rest of your premium is going to the UM and the bodily injury and the PIP. So I think a lot of people, you know, waste their time on the comp and collision, and they need to have the discussion on the bodily injury and the uninsured motorist.
Yeah, and I think that that's an important indication for us as non-insurance agents. When we call in, I know I would do the same thing. Well, how do I get this cheaper? Where can I find the cheapest insurance that's still going to be good? And you need to make sure that your agent is asking you questions to make sure that it's actually fitting you individually. Because Pete Marcos has said multiple times throughout the podcast, this type of coverage really depends on what you have. If you're a 22-year-old kid in college that's making minimum wage, you don't need to have 100, 300. You're overinsured at that point, but you do need to have car insurance. And again, if you're a 50-year-old guy that's been in business for 25 years, you need to have 100, 300 plus an umbrella. So there's a wide range of insurances you should have. You need to make sure your agent's asking you those types of questions, because when you come and you visit with a lawyer where your car insurance is really important, at that point, it's too late.
Right. I was just going to add a common comment I get when I'm working on a quote for somebody is, hey, why is my insurance going up? My car keeps getting older. And it's, you know, like I said before, it's the comp and collision is not where all your premium goes. It's the bodily injury and uninsured motorist. And just one little thing you mentioned about umbrellas. Usually the requirement, the underlying limits for an umbrella is $250,000 per person, $500,000 per accident.
Okay, so that's important. So you wouldn't have an umbrella unless you already had basically one of the higher coverages of 250, 500.
Now, let's just be clear on something. Insurance is a business. So you should be shopping your insurance regularly. I'm not telling you need to shop it every 6 months, but every year or so, you should at least be contemplating looking at what else is out there, because insurance companies manage their risk by reducing or changing the types of people they insure. So what insurance policy may be cheaper today may not be cheaper 2 years from now. But when I say shop, I don't mean shop to see what coverage you can reduce. Always compare apples to apples. When you're shopping around insurance, Peter happens to be an independent agent, so he's got multiple lines that he writes for. He can shop business lines and make sure that you're looking at the same type of coverage. Just be cautious. If you call by yourself, you may want to make sure you know what you're asking for and that whoever's quoting you is quoting the exact same type of insurance, so you have a common denominator.
Not to cut this topic off, but I do want to get to one more thing before we finish. And we talked about it before we started. We didn't get too far into it because I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. What people really care about and what they always ask us that me and Pete Sardis are not always sure of, that's how is a car accident going to affect my insurance rates? So we'll talk about when you're at fault for the car accident. Obviously, it goes up. And then even when you're not at fault for an accident, whether or not you use your benefits, how does it affect your car insurance rates?
Well, certainly if the accident's your fault, your rate's going to go up.
And most people expect that, so I think
most people expect that. And, if you're older and you have great credit and you have a very clean record and this is your first accident in a long, long time, I don't think the rate's going to go up too much at all. Maybe 10%, maybe 15%.
Okay, so what about if you're not at fault for the accident? Because most people don't, the quote me and Pete Sardis always get is, I don't want to use my insurance, quote unquote, because they don't want their rates to go up. But what actually happens even if you're not at fault for an accident?
Well, if your driving record's clean and you have a not at fault accident, I imagine your rate may not go up, but I think it will a little bit. If you already have a couple blemishes on your record and you have a not at fault accident, your rate's certainly going to go up. So what I tell my clients is, use your insurance. Use the benefits. Get your car fixed. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Because look, the accident's going to show up on your record. Because if you didn't file a claim, certainly the other party certainly did. So it's there. The insurance company is going to know about it. So you might as well use your insurance because that's what you pay for.
So is there any difference in if I get in a car accident and I'm not at fault, if I use my insurance or don't use my insurance benefits, does the rate go up more or less depending on that? Or is it the same no matter what as once the accident is reported?
Once the accident is reported, it's the same. And if it's a $100,000 accident or a $1,000 accident, it hits your record the same.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, that's really interesting. And I think people always want to know that. And lastly, from me and Pete Sardis' perspective, not reporting your accident doesn't do you any good because, like Peter Marco said, the other person's reported it. Or when you find out the other person has no insurance and now you want to report it, well, now you could be in a fight with your insurance company because you didn't report it in a timely fashion. So it really never makes sense to not report your accident.
And one big thing, when you have an accident, you need to notify the police. Absolutely, positively notify the police, because that other party, they might give you an insurance card and they say, hey, I've got insurance. And then you find out later they don't have insurance. So then you got a big problem because then there's no documentation.
Yeah, we've never had that happen to us, right, Pete? All the time we're calling for insurance policies and the insurance company's like, we don't have that person's name on record at all because it's a fake insurance card or whatever. And they just give it to the person to try to get out of there.
Or it's canceled.
Exactly, which happens a ton after people get their driver's license. Okay, well, that was a lot of insurance talk. Thank you so much to Peter Marcos for coming hanging out with us today, and hope everybody enjoyed it, and we'll be back with you next time.